T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
I didn't even know they had recording devices.
Hey, now.
Thank you, Dave. Joe Geruso joins us now, New Orleans City Council member. We're going to talk about what's going on in Orleans Parish and the council. Joe Geruso would be a good host of Jeopardy. I think you'd do a great job. Joe, you're a smart guy, personable.
You try. I don't know. I think the one thing people forget about radio and TV is it's a lot harder than it looks, right? You know you're a pro, but when you make it look easy.
That's exactly right. You can put me on a driving range with a 3-wood and Tiger Woods, and I'm going to be working a lot harder than he is, but he's going to be getting a lot better results.
That's right.
Let's talk about, I guess we start with crime. You know, I see this story about a woman that got punched in the face on attempted carjacking in Mid-City. I know an arrest was made of a kid, I guess, in one of them, or a series of them, or a couple of kids, but how concerned are you about all of that, Joe, about all the crime and getting a handle on this? And
I'm extremely concerned, and I'll tell you this too, Tommy. You know, there's some times where one of us or two of us huddles and talks about it. But with crime, it's been interesting. It's all of us are talking about it right now. And so a couple of different things. One is you saw the administration decided to end the furloughs for all of the public safety employees, including police. So obviously having more people out on the streets is good, something that we need. And the other thing I think we're going to do is have a series of meetings, not just police, judges, NORD, everything that we can think of that is contributing to this problem, and evaluate it all, number one. And then number two, I think more importantly, is not just a, well, this is wrong, or point the finger, but what is the solution, right? Like, I think one of the things we hear from people all the time is, you politicians bloviate or get on your soapboxes, but we want to see real solutions, and so do we. And when you see that the homicide rate was up by, 68% last year, carjacking is 120%, it's extremely clear that there's work to be done. And if that means at a policy level the council has to reevaluate things, that's fine. But I think it means there aren't any sacred cows and everything has to be up for discussion.
In terms of budget, Joe, everything up for discussion and more money toward the police department, maybe is what you're saying?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think the answer is we're happy to look at that as no doubt. I will say this, the police budget has increased steadily every year since about 2013. I think, and I'll have to go back and pull the numbers. My staff was recently doing this at my request. They were at maybe about $135 million or so just 7 years ago. And this year, I think they're going to be close to 170. So, you know, that's a significant increase in just 7 years. And I think the point that you're getting at is a good one, which is, are there areas within the police department that are understaffed? We know that the recruiting classes have been a focus, both the police department, the administration, the business community, for a long time. But here's a question I have. Homicide, for example. National clearance rate on homicides is roughly 60%. NOPD is a little bit below 40. Or do they need more officers in that division particularly? One thing, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to ask you, clearance, how are we defining that? An arrest or a conviction?
it's defined as either arrest or special circumstances. So, and I think like a special circumstance would be like the person died, right? So,
you
know, John Smith committed the crime. You know, another one is at a time, and I'd have to go back, and I don't know if this is still the case, but at least a couple of years ago, there were four domestic violence detectives for the entire city. Well, as I used to tell Chief Harrison, that means you have one detective for every 100,000 people. That seems like you're a little light, given everything that's going on right now. And then, Tommy, like, just to be perfectly blunt about everything, my family and my dad, what happened, how he took his own life, mental health is very important and concerning to me. And I worry about not only the mental health of people who aren't committing crime here in the city. What are we doing to address that? Because I will tell you, the anxiety and fear is as high as I've ever seen it. And then people who are in the system, too. You saw in the paper a couple of weeks ago, on October 1, there were roughly 896 people in the jail. 477 of them were on some sort of psychiatric drug. That's a really high number, right? So I think when we're looking at this, it's a question of I used to use the word manpower, but I need to use the word personnel, right? It's a question of personnel, men and women who can do the job. Are there other things that we can do to free up NOPD? So let me give you two examples. One is I know Representative Hilferty has been trying to work on a bill to get NOPD to write fewer traffic tickets so somebody else can do that, freeing up thousands of hours for NOPD to do actual police work. Are there other things that can be done to reduce their load to make them more efficient out in the field? So I think that's part of the question. And, of course, I ask the questions about, are people being arrested at the right rate? Are there people who are recidivating and what's happening to them? So all of it needs to be discussed and all of it needs to start honing in on the answers to what we're going to do about it.
Yeah, when you said you, and I didn't mean to interrupt you, but when I wanted to get the definition of clearance rates, but you said you were talking to Chief Ferguson. You can keep putting money into stuff, but do you think the department is spending the money? Are you happy with the way NOPD is spending the money and the direction, the focus, the areas of that they're focusing on, et cetera?
Yeah, I mean, what you're asking, and I think this is hard to put on human terms, but sort of business terms, you're asking, what is the ROI? What are we getting in return, right, as a result of spending that much money? So that's sort of question number one. Like, what are we getting? One of the basic budget questions I have, too, is my understanding is the budget has been increased with the idea that we may not get to the total number of officers that are ultimately available, but maybe to a number of like 1,300 or 1,350. Well, if we're only at 1,100, 1,150, 1,200, and there's that delta from 1,300, 1,350 that we're budgeted for, what else is happening with that money, right? Mm-hmm. And then, part of all of it, too, is, and I talked about
wait, hang on, Joe. The positions are funded. Pardon me. The positions are funded and the money is being given to the police department, even though the positions aren't filled?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's my understanding. So, but that's why part of the reason I want to ask the question more specifically, right? Because it could also be the fact that we've given regular, and by we, I mean the city. So I don't mean to stretch to before I was elected, but there have been increases in salaries for police officers too, right? So if my understanding is, well, yeah, we did that 7-6 years ago, but we've also increased police pay steadily to be ahead of other parishes and to be competitive, well, then that's different. And I think we need to discuss that, right? So I want to make sure that they're right-sized and that the money is going in the right places. And look, Tommy, the other thing, too, is there's all this discussion about the consent decree, what we're doing about it, how do we start exiting it? And I think that's sort of fair grist too, is how do we decide sort of the pieces where it's looking good and how money's being spent there. And I think all of it needs to be not only discussed, but also where are things that we know that there are holes and that we can and should be doing better?
It would seem like if NOPD is getting money for positions that aren't filled, then I don't know how you go from that to furloughs.
Well, and that's, I'm not sure the answer to that question either. And so, the furloughs, too, in fairness, were for a couple of months, right? So there were spikes in crime, in major ones. But I think it'd be very hard to argue, unless the data absolutely supports it, that the bumps were attributable to the furloughs, right?
No, I get that, but it's two different discussions, right, Joe? I mean, you do want accountability for the money and the most bang for your buck, like you're saying, ROI.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Look, and I think what we're both saying is this: we want police to be funded, right? And one of the things I have publicly said is I do not believe in defunding the police. I think that's a bad phrase, and frankly, even for people who intend it a different way, they don't really mean it the way that it's been said. With that being said, we all have a responsibility to be good stewards of public money. And you want to see the public agencies that need the money the most getting it. And then in return, how is that money being spent? What is it being used for? And how is it helping? And, we want to make sure that the police are getting what they need in terms of support, in terms of personnel, in terms of policy, in terms of other things that'll help them do their jobs.
All right, we'll take a break, pick it up. We'll talk about Folgers when we come back. And also, as it relates to, you say defund the police, I think when people say that, they're conflating long-term and short-term solutions. But if you don't have the money for the short-term solution, how can you even begin working on the long-term solution? Joe DiRusso is our guest, New Orleans City Council member. More when we come back, including that Folgers tax breaks they're looking for. And I believe there were some hearings done and some research into whether or not the city's getting the bang for its buck for the tax cut. Taking a break, coming back here on WWL. Tax breaks is what I was fumbling for as it relates to Folgers property tax breaks specifically, and we'll get back to that in a second. We're talking to Joe DiRusso, New Orleans City Council member. Next half hour, we'll talk to Scott Walker, who would be the Jefferson Parish version of Joe DiRusso in a way, although Joe's not a council person at large. Joe, you talk about defunding the police, and as you look at long-term solutions and short-term solutions for crime, and I think when people say defund the police, they're talking about spending money on the long-term solutions, but that doesn't mean that's going to make the short-term problem go away. So when you look at crime in New Orleans, and if you don't have the money to take care of it short-term, how in the world do you even begin to work on long-term solutions and in terms of better education or opportunities for kids, et cetera? And I think you know what I'm asking.
Yeah, I know. So let me say, I guess, two things about that. First is, I think as far as I can tell, there seem to be two groups who use the firm to fund the police, which I've said many times is a bad term. One is what you're talking about, which is it's police plus. And what they really mean is, how do we provide social services, more recreation, libraries, other things to help. And it's not police alone, but it's police plus. And then I really worry there's another group that literally means we're going to disband the police department. And a remark on that would just be, there was a New York Times article about a month ago where, remember, the Minneapolis council said, yeah, we're going to disband and defund the police, and they walked all of that back. So that's a non-starter, right?
Well, that's idiotic. You can't do that. Come on.
Yeah, correct. So, but it was bandied about, and that's what gets people nervous, right? And so I would answer Tommy a couple of different ways. You're right that there are two things that are absolutely critical to all of this. One is you have to have the money. We can't have services or police or anything that involves public safety unless the money is there. At the same time, there has to be, I hate to use this word, but almost ruthless accountability and transparency. And how is the money being spent? What's happening as a result of this? Is this a good policy? Is it a bad policy? And to just give you one small example, when I first got involved in education work, everything was about getting kids to and through college. And within 5 to 10 years, it shifted to early childhood education as everything. That's really where we need to start. So those change. Now, to directly answer your question, I think it's a few things, right? Like, number one, it's about looking at how your spending is and what your priorities are. You look at the city budget, the two departments that receive the most amount of money are fire and police. Just easily, it's fire and police. Police itself is 17 to 18% of the city budget. So, you know, a lot of money goes there out of a $1 billion budget. Same thing with fire and EMS and other departments that deserve it and need it. I think the second part that, you know, we're all looking at is how do you grow the revenue pie without overburdening residents? And there's sort of a couple of answers to that. One is, and we didn't plan this, but the segue is to looking at tax exemptions, for example, because when businesses or nonprofits, not just putting it on commercial businesses, aren't contributing to the tax base, it takes money away from police, fire, schools, sewage and water board. All the things that I pay property taxes on, you pay property taxes on, are not covered. And then the other thing, you know, the council got sidetracked from this for a long time, and it's going to be something I say in my comments today about Folgers, because I don't think beating up on any one business or using them as an example is the right thing to do. But we've been too much in a property tax mode, which exempts nonprofit property. And you know, whether you admit it or not, the truth is universities, hospitals, churches, other nonprofits use drainage, police, fire, and other services that the city provides, but they don't pay for it. So I think it's a major thing for us to start rethinking about how we retool that, so that way everybody is paying into the pool. I mean, the way I sort of think about it is like, you know, an insurance pool. The more people who are contributing to it, the lower theoretically your premium ought to be. So what do we do to get more contribution from outside sources without burdening residents? And in turn, get better and more services.
Go ahead. I mean, interrupt you, please. Keep going.
No, it's to me, the formula itself is simple, I think, but it's the implementation of it that's difficult, because you're really talking about a break. And so, again, this is simplistic, but an explanation that I think is very clear. The thing about sewer, water, and drainage, those are three different systems, two of which, sewer and water, are funded by fees, right? You pay your sewage and water board bill, you're paying for sewer and water. That, because of the fee-based structure, those separate systems collect between $100 to $125 million each year, all right? Now compare drainage, which is implemented through a property tax millage, actually a series of millages, which collects only $60 million a year. So what happens as a result? Drainage is chronically underfunded relative to sewer and water, and it's because there's less contribution. So you want to get better services. Part of the answer is you need to get more people contributing.
When it comes to property tax policy, can you go one size fits all? Because as you talk about Tulane being nonprofit and they don't pay taxes, but they are an employer, right? So Folgers makes the argument, and I want to see where you stand on these exemptions before we go on the four exemptions that are pending, property tax exemptions. They're saying, look, we provide jobs, we need this exemption, etc. And I would think maybe Tulane could make a similar argument.
So I would say a few things. That the answer is any major employer in the city that is a nonprofit can make that argument, right? One of the responses that I've had to a couple of the nonprofits myself is, I'm somebody who's employed here, and I pay my property taxes, and I generate work, and I spend my money here. And so I think again, one of the issues with Folgers is, you know, the jobs, yes, I think there were ultimately maybe about 12 permanent jobs that were created that were less than $40,000 or around that amount of money. That doesn't make my hair stand on end. And frankly, we spent the first part of the segment, the second part of the second segment, talking about how we get more money. And I had a couple of business people push back on me about, well, Joe, we would like you to be in favor of granting exemptions. And I said, but you guys are the first ones to say to me, we don't give the fire department enough money. We don't give EMS enough money. My street's in terrible shape. So it's a fine line to walk, right? Like, how do you make sure that services are being provided and then you're attracting business here at the same time? And truth be told, if crime becomes a problem again, if schools are in bad shape, then it's awfully hard to not only attract but retain businesses here too. So I view it less of being punitive or putting the screws to people or that they're getting something different. I view it more as a, if you want to be part of a community and you want to operate somewhere, then you need to do your part too, in terms of contributing to the services. And another piece too, Tommy, is like, take again my example of sewer and water. You know, all of the nonprofits or most of the nonprofits pay their sewer and water fee right now. So if you're paying for two of the services, it's kind of hard to argue you can't pay for drainage too. So for-profit businesses are paying for that. There's tax incentives that come. A lot of businesses here, when they first start out or even in the middle, have something called payment in lieu of taxes, which reduces their tax burden. So I'm sympathetic to the notion that we need to create a culture that wants to have businesses here. But at the same time, if you keep on giving away the cow for free, there's not going to be any milk.
So, looking ahead to this afternoon, do you think the Folgers tax exemptions come up, or does it get continued? Do you all vote on it, and how do you intend to vote?
So, it's going to come up today. I think we have to vote today, or else we miss our deadline, which I believe is tomorrow. I had already voted against deferring them. And like the school board that had voted against, yeah, right, exactly. We turned two of them down, and then we're going to come back for the four. I'd already voted essentially to vote against those four, and I plan on doing the same thing today, largely because I believe in the notion that I can't go to the public and look them in the eye and say, I'm sympathetic with your crime problem. I'm sympathetic with your broken street. I'm sympathetic that your light is broken, but I don't know where to find the money. And I just think that it's not a huge amount of money, but those nickels and dimes make dollars. And we need that to make sure the city can function the right way.
Any other stuff you want to leave us with, Joe?
I think the only other thing, Tommy, is I know there's been a lot of news about vaccinations and the slow rollout. We didn't get to touch on that. But yeah, that there's a real commitment to making sure that that's happening in a faster way. We saw the government already lower the age from 70 to 65. And, my fingers crossed is by the time summer rolls around, we're so much at a better place when it comes to that, and that people start getting those vaccines so we can start getting life back to normal, because I think that too will help with increasing not only the economy here, but also reducing crime by getting people back on the streets and moving around and have the unintended consequence of making sure that there's more money in the tills and therefore we can spend money on city uses too.
Yeah, I saw a graphic the other day. Louisiana received about 368,000 doses, and as of 2 days ago, the CDC said 142,000 had been put into people's arms. The health department said it was more like 152,000. But it just seems like if they're available and we're trying to get back to normal, we got to come up with a better way.
Yeah, and look, some of the secret is there's certain hospitals that people don't think about that actually have the doses too. So I'm not trying to plug one over the other, but for example, Children's Hospital, which I tend to think of serving kids, is giving out vaccinations. So We want to make sure that people have the information, too. I think that's another critical piece, is that people may say, oh, these are the three pharmacies that I can call. Well, no, the hospitals have them, too. So call Ochsner, call LCMC, try and get on that list as quickly as possible, and we need to work out logistically how we roll them out, too.
Thank you, Joe. Good conversation. I appreciate your time.
Thanks, Tommy. Take care.
Have a good day. Who dat? Give me a big who dat. All right. We can take a break, come back, talk to Scott Walker, Jefferson Parish Council member. Talk about the things.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.